Okay. Open your Bibles, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brother Rick was talking about in Sunday school this morning the privilege of being saved and understanding the gifts and understanding the great gift that God's given us through salvation. I'm afraid many times we forget how fortunate we are if we've been able to find the grace of God and find salvation through Christ. Sometimes we forget that God's been awful good to us, a lot better than what we deserve. The sad part about it is people are moving away from a message, the message of the cross. We're getting away from the blood that was shed, as Brother Junior was talking about this morning. The blood does so much for us. Not only does it save our soul, it brings peace with God. It allows us to draw nigh to God. It allows us coming to the presence of God. All those things are done because of the precious blood of Jesus. It enables us to be born again. People don't like the message anymore that we are sinners. They like to be told they're okay, everything's okay, and everything will be just fine. They like to be bragged upon and lifted up instead of brought to the point where they come down, looked up to the Savior that is lifted up. When you're lifting up men, you're not lifting up Jesus. The reason why Jesus had to be lifted up was because we couldn't lift ourselves up. And so it's very important. This morning I want to share with you a message, and I do want to pass on. Brother Rick was talking about his brother-in-law. His brother-in-law's dad died, and they were at the funeral, and his uncle went across the road to the car to come back and was struck and killed with a car. So they had two deaths right there at the same time. The sad part about it is his brother-in-law told him his dad wasn't saved, and his brother-in-law, or his uncle, was the only one in the family that was. But I'm thinking what a sad, sad time it is when we lose a loved one and we have no hope for that loved one. Let's look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And remember, now Paul had come to the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth was where east and west commerce come together. It collided. It brought everything. It brought not only trade and commercial money and all the things, but it brought all kinds of religious beliefs and religious teachings. In the city of Corinth was the Temple of Diana. They would practice fertility worship, and they would have priestesses as prostitutes serving in the temple. And so it was, you can imagine, with all those sailors and people coming in, it was a very popular religion. And it was easy going to the Temple of Diana and fulfill your lust and do the things that was done there. Even the Jews had moved in and built a synagogue. But again, they'd built that. But Paul come. Now, when you read the missionary trip that got him there, he'd been several places and he'd went where God had led him. But yet in each of those places, he'd received persecution. He'd been beaten. He'd been thrown in prison. He had been abused, opposed, and so he knew coming into Corinth. He knew there was a lot of wicked people there. He knew it was filled with Jews and Greeks, and he knew that they were not going to receive his message. And he knew he'd receive a lot of opposition because of what he's going to preach. And so with that in mind, let's begin reading, if you would, in verse number 17. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is power of God." Now notice there, Paul separates us into two categories. which one are you? He said, the preaching of the cross is those that perish, foolishness. But to those of us who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are, to bring to naught things that are. To bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Now look back, if you would, in verse 22 through 24. Those are the verses I want to preach, and I want to bring three things out. I want to look at those who were hearing the message. I want to look at the message. Then I want to look at the response of the message. So this morning, if you would, bear with me as we go into this, and notice that Paul separates those that were hearing the messages into two people, the Jews and the Greeks. Now, you've got to go back and understand a couple things. When you look, now the Jews, as I said, built a synagogue. They were a very prideful people. And you've got to understand, I've had people ask me, said, well, what's wrong with requiring a sign? A lot of people today says, I want to see a sign. Well, what they wanted to do was, they wanted to have a sign to satisfy their flesh. Now, when you go back, you understand that the Jews were a privileged people. God had revealed himself to the Jewish people, and he had worked through many of their forefathers, and therefore he had done many great, wonderful signs and wonders. And so they thought that it was evident of God when they would see these the power of God revealed in these signs. And so what the Jews wanted always, they wanted a sign. Every time you turn around, they wanted a sign. When the rich man came, or when the man came with a son that was dying to Jesus, he said, you all require a sign. And the noble man said, my son's dying. Would you just speak? And he said, go, thou son has been healed. And in other words, he allowed his son to be healed. But the Jews required a sign. Why did they require a sign? Well, you look back in all the history. And how many times did God perform miracles? He performed, you know, through Moses, when he laid the rod down, when he opened the Red Sea. And all the Jews talked about it, and their hearts filled up with pride because that was a Jew. The things through Abraham, the things through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, through Daniel, all the ones and their descendants, they looked back, and they had great pride because God revealed himself. And he did great miracles and signs through Elijah and Elisha and all the prophets and so forth. How God worked in so many mighty ways and revealed signs. So when Jesus came, here he was the Messiah. And he was foretold that the Messiah would come. He would come preaching a message of deliverance. He would be able to heal the sick, raise the dead, do all these things. And so when he came, he began to fulfill those. As a matter of fact, when he read that scripture from Isaiah one time in synagogue, he sat down, he closed the book, he said, today it's been fulfilled in your presence. I don't remember exactly how it said, but he was telling them that today it had been fulfilled. Now get this a minute and understand this, because there's a place I want to go with this. All through his ministry, they hounded Jesus for a sign. The Jews did. They wanted signs. The signs were not for them spiritually. The signs was for them physically, to appease themselves and to build their pride up in who they were, their people. In other words, they took great pride that God had performed these miracles and signs in the past, and so they were looking for the same thing today when Jesus was there. And of course, they come, and after Jesus set down 5,000, and he took five fishes and two loaves, and he broke them up, and he fed the 5,000. He gathered up 12 baskets of fragments left over them. You know what they said to him after he left? What sign showest thou us? I mean, he just performed, he just fed 5,000 with that little bit of food from the lad. And yet they wanted a sign. And so they came to Jesus another time in Matthew chapter 12. And the Bible says they wanted a sign. And he said, the only sign that this adulterous evil generation will have is a sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Remember when he went before Herod? The Bible said Herod was pleased when he heard that Jesus was going to come. You know why? He wanted to see a sign. He wanted to see a miracle. He wanted to have something done to stimulate his pride. Now remember, and you got to get this, they were looking for appeasement of their flesh to build their pride up. It wasn't for faith. They wasn't receiving Christ by faith. Therefore, the Bible says that Jesus was a stumbling block to them. Because here, they wanted that sign, and you got to get this in your mind. They wanted it because of their pride. Now, also, the Bible speaks of the Greeks. Now, the Greeks, the Bible speaks of, didn't want signs. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, they thought most of the religious stuff was fuddy-duddy stuff, was silly. They had all these philosophers. They had all these historians. They had all these politicians and all these people, mathematicians and all that. They had the Platos and Socrates and Aristotle's and all those. They had all those thinkers. And they had their idea that they were so smart they could figure out the answers to all issues. They had the solutions that man could create, could deal with his own problems and could come up with solutions to find where morally they could grow up into a group and generation where they'd be morally right, they'd get along with everybody would do fine, and it would just work out because they were smart enough that man could solve his own problems. You see, with the Greek, they had the same problem as the Jews. The Jews wanted signs because of their pride, of their heritage. The Greeks wanted wisdom because they thought they were so much smarter than everybody else. They were prideful in their own thinking. Now, by the way, the Greeks, and we see both of those today, we see both of those things sought after by people. As a matter of fact, you see some in the religious world, they stress, and all their religion is built on signs, miracles. You'll see these stadiums filled and gullible people filling these stadiums wanting to see signs and wonders. Yet the Bible clearly tells us that we're not going to see, we don't believe today because of signs, we believe because of faith. But yet you find people still going after signs. And boy, you'll have some groups that they exalt themselves. They think they're better than everybody else, and they claim to have a higher a position with God than everybody else because they do signs. But what you need to understand is they do it for the same reason. P-R-I-D-E, pride. It's not humbleness that signs bring in their life. It's pride. And by the way, when God comes into your life, you have to humble yourself for God to come. Grace does not come to the proud. He resists the proud. Grace comes to the humble. And so what happens is you have some groups of religion that they build up their pride and they claim to have all this and they prove it by their signs. Then you have this other groups, some of them, they claim nobody's going to heaven but them because they are so wise. They have such, they deal with philosophies and they deal with studies and they want to debate all the time and they want to argue all the time, all these issues. And they think they're so much wiser. But the Bible says that here we have people today. Humanism that's taught in our schools is teaching the same thing that the Greeks did. It's teaching that man is the answer to man's problems. And as a matter of fact, our schools have gotten farther and farther and pushed God farther and farther out. Don't want the Bible. Don't want God. He's not the answer to anything. And the more that we think we're going to solve all our problems, take a good look at what they've done. They've made a mess of everything. And look what condition we have now with our young people, our schools. And I mean, my goodness gracious, every time you turn around, somebody's walking in, shooting and killing a bunch of people. You won't know how many times we heard that when we started our school days reading the Bible and praying in our public schools. You won't know how many times that we had reports of people walking in and we had guns back then. Matter of fact, be honest with you, when I went to high school, a lot of times I'd have a gun hanging on the rack right in my truck. Wasn't a problem at all. You know how many times we had people walking in shooting everybody up? But you see, this humanism teaches you that man is the answer to man's problems, and so therefore, through man's own wisdom, he'll solve his own problems and find all the answers. So where do we come from? According to man and his solution, I come from a monkey somewhere. Don't buy that at all. Or some great explosion. Or some kind of mistake. Or I evolved out of some little snail or some type of creature. Nope. I believe in the beginning God created me. Now, let me say, you got to remember, if you get the gist of this message, they believed they were what they were because of their own pride. The Greeks exalted their wisdom. The Jews exalted their signs. Now, the Bible also speaks of the called. Now, the called here that he's talking about is those that have heard the message of God. They have believed the message of God. They have a divine act of God, a salvation that's come into their life. It's changed them. And when they heard God call, they respond from their heart and they believe the message. What God wants is he wants believers. Paul come to preach a message. He knew that there's going to be a lot of opposers. He knew that there are going to be a lot of people reject the message. A lot of them, they had too much pride in their own signs. Others had way too much pride in their wisdom. And so he said, God, his wisdom is greater. God's foolishness is greater than the wisdom of man. God's weakness is greater than the strength of man. And man thinks he's all that. And through God's wisdom then, what he did was he provided a way of salvation. And in that way of salvation, what he did was he provided a way that it would cause man's pride to be brought down. So here what happened was, he said that there are those that are going to believe. When the message is preached, they're going to believe from their heart and they're going to respond. And so therefore, they are called. Now he said, there's many that's called, few are chosen, because they reject the message. But yet that the only message that we have is the message of Christ. Now let's look just a few moments at the message. Now, we see the people that he came to preach to, but now notice the message. The Bible says in verse 22, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Now, why was it a stumbling block, and why was it foolishness? Well, first of all, they preached a fact that Jesus had come and died and was risen and ascended up to heaven. Now, they know because Jesus not only would walk the earth, he died, and they knew that he died upon the cross of Calvary. They knew as well some things that happened when he was buried, and when he resurrected, they knew some things that happened. They knew his tomb was empty, and they knew that, and all those were facts. But yet here, they rejected facts because some of them wanted to see signs, and some of them counted on their own wisdom, and they counted the preaching of the cross foolishness, and it was a stumbling block to those that wanted a sign. Now, how was it? Why? How did that work out? Well, when they preached Jesus, they preached a person, the fact, the Son of God, and how that he came. Now the reason why it was a stumbling block to the Jews was this. Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. Now, they remember they wanted a sign because of what? Their pride, who they were. You know what they were waiting on? They were waiting on their Messiah to come. You know why they wanted their Messiah? The Roman government was over them right then. They were over the rule. They were ruling over them and so forth. And they had to answer the Roman government. And yet it was foretold in the Old Testament that one day the Jews would have prominence as a nation, and that the Messiah would reign upon this earth, and he would reign with a rod of iron. And so the Jews were waiting for the Messiah because they were so prideful, and they wanted to sit over top of everybody, and they wanted to be exalted with the Messiah. Now get this a minute. The reason why the preaching of this message was so harmful to the Jews and a stumbling block to the Jews was this. They looked for their Messiah to come and reign. But yet here, their Messiah, the one who claimed to be a Messiah, come, and he went to the cross of Calvary. Now that crumbled their pride. The Messiah that they thought was going to come and take over the world, and they were going to take over it with him, and they were going to reign with him. Here he was, dying upon the cross of Calvary. Dying in a place of malefactors, dying in a place of common criminals, dying the worst death that there could be. And there he hung upon the cross of Calvary. He gave his life, and he hung there shamefully. And yet somebody wants to tell them that that was their Messiah. You know what it did to their pride? Man. It made them mad to even claim. And to this day, they're still blind because they rejected Jesus as Messiah. Even though Isaiah told them that he would come and our transgressions would be placed upon him and he would be bruised for those. But yet they didn't understand that, because what they were wanting is they were full of pride. And the fact that someone would tell them, you see, the problem was this. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Let me say with the message just a minute. And so the Jews were offended that anybody would even hint that Jesus was their Messiah, because they had too much pride in their own heritage. And therefore, they weren't going. And see, the message that they wanted to see was something that exalted their flesh. But the message that Jesus come preaching and Paul come preaching was one of Christ and him crucified. And so therefore, what happened was the message dealt and it taught something that they didn't want to deal with. It taught that we were in need of something. That it taught that we were sinners. It taught that we had to come and we had to lower ourselves to receive that message, because the reason he had to die was because of us. And so therefore, the Jews, to look and say that was their Messiah, they would have to accept the fact that he was hanging there because of the Jewish sins. And man, that means that they would have to claim that there was something needed in their life. And how many times did they tell Jesus, "We be the son of Abraham"? How many times they have pride in their heritage? And so the very mere fact that somebody would claim that they had to, their Messiah died because of them, man, it brought a stumbling block. Then you had the Greeks on the other side. They had all the answers. They had all these thinkers. And boy, they thought they were so smart. Their language was common among the whole world. After Alexander the Great conquered the world, they got a common language. That's why the Greek. That's why the New Testament was written in Greek and Arabic, because Greek was common language to everybody. Everybody had to learn Greek, just like today, kind of English. But it was Greek in those days. But now these Greeks exalted themselves. Now they're hearing a message that someone come, the very Son of God, come and he took a body like ours. He walked on this earth and he went and he offered himself a sacrifice and he died upon the cross of Calvary and he shed his blood because we were sinners and that we couldn't help ourselves. So he came and God provided salvation through him. Man. Did they not like that message? You know why? Because they thought it was foolishness because they couldn't believe that we would believe we couldn't solve our own problems. We couldn't come up with our own answers. But you see, the preaching of the cross was a strange message. It was strange because here we had the very Son of God dying. It was a shocking message that he would give his life for us. But yet it was a very simple message. And they thought that everything had to be complex, intellectual. And what they did was, they believed that anybody who stooped herself to believe something like that was a fool. But they didn't realize that they were a fool themselves. Because what God's wisdom did was, he made it where he provided a way of salvation that even children can come and believe. And so here Jesus was, and so Paul come preaching the message. And by the way, the only thing to be done with the gospel is to have preach it. And somebody said, well, we're going to find a new way of getting this cross. No, there's still one way. We preach. Amen. For the foolish of preaching, it pleases God to save those which believe. And so we continue to proclaim the word of God, and we continue to proclaim the gospel, and we continue to proclaim Christ and lift him up. And teach Christ as our example. We teach Christ as our life. We teach him buried. We teach him resurrected. We teach him coming again. We teach all about Christ. But now look here. To the Greeks, it was offensive. Because they thought they had all the answers. And everything they thought, where people came from, where they were going, why they were the way they were, was contrary to the things that Paul was preaching. Paul was preaching that they were in need of something. They could not do it by themselves, and without Jesus they were nothing. And so therefore they had to come to him. He was the only true vine. And everybody else was nothing without him. And so we must depend upon him. And so that message hurt their pride too. They couldn't believe that they wanted you to believe something like that. So they rejected Jesus. Now look here, and I want to try to get this real quick before I close. But the wisdom of God, you see, the message dealt with their heart. The Greeks wanted to be able to understand everything. There are some things about the cross of Calvary you'll never understand. You have to receive it by faith. But you see, the message of the Christ deals with your heart. It deals with you because it tells you, Jackie, that you're a sinner and that you got to be saved. And Christ came to make a way that you could be saved. Now, the only way of being one of the called believers is to respond to that message. You've got to believe in your heart. You see, what the Jews were used to didn't deal with their heart. It dealt with their flesh. They had pride in their flesh. The Greeks had pride in their flesh. Neither one of them wanted a message that dealt with their heart. Because the message showed both of them that their heart wasn't right with God. It showed both of them that their heart was full of sin. It showed both of them that they needed a Savior. And so therefore, to the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. But now get this. The Bible goes on to say, God didn't call many wise, didn't call many noble. He took the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. But now get this. We are saved by faith. Everybody understands that. But look here. When I got saved, God gave me a sign. He changed me. Gary, I'll pick on you today. You need picked on. Remember where you was at? Remember when you came? You came by faith. But God evident in your life you'd receive something by giving you a sign of a changed heart. All of a sudden, things were different. All of a sudden, something happened. All of a sudden, we knew that there was a difference made. We didn't know where, but we knew it was the power of God. And see, the Greeks want to see the power of God through signs, but yet we recognize that we have been touched and moved and changed into a new creature by the power of God. Knowing that, but the amazing thing is, in God's wisdom, when we come believing in faith, He gives us a sign within us. His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know that something's happened. We know that there's been a change. We know that something miraculous has happened when we came. And believing upon God, we know that He touched us. Yes, anybody remember, we sing that song, He touched me. You remember when He touched you? And I know something happened. I can't explain it, but I know something happened. Now look here. Also, the Greeks, seeking wisdom. Since I've been saved, I have come to understand where men came from. I understand more about me than I ever understood before. The world cannot explain it, but now God has explained. He's explained where I came from, why I was born, why I'm here, where I'm going, what's taking place here upon the earth, why it's taking place upon the earth, what's waiting for me beyond that. Now I have answers that I never had. The wisdom of God has given me such fulfillment. I don't run around when I see things happening out here. I have an understanding of what's going on. I hear people out there saying, what in the world's going on? I know what's going on. Because when I received the message by faith, God gave me a wisdom. And look here, if I lack wisdom, all I have to do is ask God, and He gives it more to me liberally. And now I have a better understanding of life than I ever had, and better understanding the Greeks ever come up with. Plato and all those, and all their intellectual wisdom, they never found the true answers. But thank God, responding to the message. Of all the things that the Greek Jews sought for, all the things the Greeks sought for, it is amazing in God's wisdom how that when you just a simple that responds by faith, everything everybody else is looking for, He gives to you. Now think about this a minute. What does the world, what would you say are some of the bigger things that the world right now wants that they're selling their soul to get? Tell me, what do you think? What comes to mind? Power, prestige, money, what? Fame? Huh? I couldn't hear you. Attention. And I mean, how many of them are striving? Bodies and health and all that. Their whole life's built up on that. But look here. Get this. I'm going to close. The amazing thing about the wisdom of God is this. If you believe the message and allow the Holy Spirit of God to convict you, you humble yourself, you come to God believing by faith, recognizing how small you are, how sinful you are, humbling yourself, recognizing there's nothing to you, that you need everything from God, and recognizing it, you got to get rid of your pride, and you've got to humble yourself to find grace of God, and you come seeking Him, and all of a sudden, He gives you a sign. All them old foolish Jews were looking for, He gives it to you the moment you come by faith. He gives you wisdom. Wisdom the world don't understand. And look here. Wealth? I've got streets of gold and gates of pearl waiting on me. I've got a city that's waiting. Position? The sons of God. Health? I'll never die. Never hurt? Never pain? No sickness? No sorrow, no weeping. Look here. The wisdom of God. He gave me all that when I came by faith. And the world calls us foolish. They're foolishly looking for it all out there. And it's all wrapped up in this one message. And it's believing that one message and coming and responding to that one message from your heart. And all of a sudden, God gives you everything that they're looking for. He'll be waiting on you. Isn't that amazing?